Hi, this is Bill Lindeke for the Streets.mn podcast, conversations about transportation, public space, and urban design in the Twin Cities. This week's podcast is a conversation with State Representative Ron Ehrhardt of Edina about the state of the state's transportation system. Representative Ehrhardt, who chairs the Transportation Policy Committee in the House, was recently elected to represent Edina as a DFL Democrat after serving many years representing Edina as a Republican. He was forced into switching parties after voting in 2008 for a controversial override of then-Governor Tim Pawlenty's veto of a state transportation funding bill. This places Representative Ehrhardt in the unique position of chairing a House Transportation Committee as both a Democrat and a Republican. I sat down with him last week in his new office in the State Office Building in St. Paul's Capitol Hill to talk about his history fighting for transportation funding in Minnesota and what to expect from the coming 2013 legislative session in transportation policy. I hope you enjoy the conversation. For Streets.mn, and I'm here with Representative Ron Ehrhardt in his office. And I was hoping to talk to you today, Ron, about, you know, what's going on at the legislative session this year.
Well, it's just really getting a start. I just got my phone put in 2 days ago, and my computer is tied up with somebody else's password in it, so I'm going to get that straightened out this afternoon. I mean, we're only 2 weeks into the session, and it's time now.
Yeah.
Get that stuff done.
Well, great. It looks like you're starting going. I mean, one of the funny things about when a party switches control is that they have to move all their offices to a different space. I imagine that's kind of a hassle. But will you introduce yourself a little bit? Because you are you're a representative representing Edina, and you're the chair of the Transportation Policy Committee.
Right.
And that's a position you've held for quite a while, right?
Well, in the past. I was here for 18 years before the big blow-up in 2008 when we passed the big transportation bill, and we overrode the... I was kind of the leader in constructing the bill as well as leading the Republican six, the override six, as we were called, to override Governor Pawlenty's veto of something that seemed to us to be very worthwhile, with a bridge falling down, and we knew we needed money for bridges and the roads and what have you, so we overrode them, and the Republicans didn't take very kindly to that, so they would not endorse me for that election, and so I ran as an independent because the DFL had also endorsed someone, and I came in second. So in 2010, I did nothing but look and see what was happening, and supported the DFL candidate, and come 2012, I looked around and I thought, well, I should, there's some shuffling around and who's running for what. I think I'll throw my hat in the ring again because I still have some interest in doing the right things for the legislature. And so we went off and tried it, and it was successful. And when I was here before, the last two terms that I was here, I was chair of the Transportation Policy Committee. And actually, it was in the third of the last two terms. The last term I was here, we were in the minority. And so I was made vice chair of the Transportation Committee and by the DFL, because I was pretty knowledgeable about what was happening. And so we got the bill done, as I said. Now I'm back with the same Transportation Policy Committee, and we're going to have similar problems in that we need money again for... we actually only were able to put together about one-third of what was necessary in 2008, which was roughly between bonding and taxes and gas taxes and all this, about $6 billion. A huge part of that was bonding, which is not really new taxes nor new money, but something you have to pay back. Anyway, they've run out of that bonding money, which they were fixing the bridges with. We've replaced a number of bridges since then. And it's time now to look at the possibilities of advancing transportation revenues as well. So that's what we're about. I don't know who is going to decide what the governor is going to have on his plate for that, which we'll find out on the 22nd of January next week. And so we'll kind of go from there.
In that you mentioned the big blowout in 2008, right? So it was a year after the bridge fell, and you and six other
moderate Republicans,
right,
said this is enough fooling around. That bridge is gone, and we just got to look ahead and do what we need to do. So we
did. You ever? I know now you're back in the same position you were before, and I imagine you're feeling pretty good about that. But did you ever regret that decision to go against your party?
No, I mean it was apparent that we were going to have consequences by the fact that three of the Republican leaders, including Tom Emmer, came in and sat right where you're sitting now, and said, "If you vote for this, Earhart, we're going to take away your research capability, and we're going to take away your constituent services, we're going to take away this and that." And I said, "Well, what about my secretary?" And they said, "Well, we'll talk about that after the vote." This was on Friday before the Monday that the override was to take place. And they did that to all six of the override, six as we were called. And as a matter of fact, four of us did not come back.
Well, Representative Abler was one of them. He's still
He made it back, as did Hamilton.
Yeah.
And Heidergen and Tingelsted decided they were not going to run. And let's see, it was who from Bloomington? Earhart and Neil Peterson from Bloomington.
Yeah.
They went after us and wouldn't endorse us and so forth. So,
well,
we always knew there were, you know, that we were doing the right thing, but not according to some minds, and they didn't like it. So,
So the basic struggle though it seems to be about how we fund our transportation system, right? Is that, would you say, the number one problem facing Minnesota today? In
Oh, there's a lot of problems facing Minnesota. Balancing the budget is certainly, there's a structural imbalance, which means that the expenses that we're incurring continue to rise, and our funding is kind of flat, so that we're getting a separation, and that's, this year, about $1.1 billion.
Yeah, and that's a recurring problem.
Yes, it's been a recurring problem since we reduced the income taxes in 99 and 2000. We actually took billion by reducing the rates in those years, we took billions of dollars out of the income flow to the state, and so then the economy turned around and was not very, we didn't have the money to do what we had to do, and it's been kind of yo-yoing around ever since. We need to change that. And
so what's a long-term transportation financing option, do you think?
Well, you know, and there's been there was a commission out looking at that, and what they really said was all summer that the same things that we're using now seem to be the best way to for the immediate or short, medium term. We still have to get the gas tax money and the tab fees, and what we're using right now is probably going to be the way we have to go for the short-term future. Now, there are other things that we're looking at. One of them this past summer was called the mileage-based utility fee, which was caused you to pay your portion of the use of the highways according to the mileage that you drove. And eventually we would eliminate the tax on gasoline. Because the cars are more efficient today and they're going to electric stuff. electric cars and buses and hybrids, and that slowed down the income flow from gasoline taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been relatively flat for a number of years, and we've got increasing demands for the money, so we've got to find eventually other ways to get our the state getting its share of road money and bridge money. So that is probably not up yet for, it takes some infrastructure, the mileage-based utility or fees for buses and whoever uses the roads, buses
and trucks.
Trucks,
yeah.
And other vehicles, because we don't have the infrastructure yet to collect that data. But we did a serious study last summer that we had transponders in each of the 500 cars that tried the process for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And those transponders broadcast every minute when your car was in motion where you were. So they would measure the distance, and there were various charges that would be applied if we actually put this into action. But we really don't have the collection stuff and all of that worked out yet, and there were some concerns about some people that were worried about the government knowing where you were all the time.
Yeah, well, that is a legitimate concern for a lot of people.
Yeah. And,
but your cell phone can track you down too. I mean, those are becoming really common.
Modified cell phones.
Okay.
That we were using.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's one of the methods, probably for the future, for the present, for funding for transportation. But for the present, we probably are pretty much stuck with the conventional things, which are largely the gas tax and tab fees, license fees.
Mm-hmm.
That's there's no new magic bullet that's been derived so far.
How do you feel about balancing, like you talked about the bridge, 35W bridge disaster,
yeah,
and the need for funding for kind of maintenance for structurally deficient bridges around Minnesota, and there's lots of those.
Yeah.
How do you feel about balancing kind of maintenance versus new construction, which is a lot more politically popular, is to build a new freeway or road bypass or bridge?
Well, actually, I think that we're starting, first of all, to bring more mass transit online with the Central Corridor and hopefully with the Southwest Corridor and then maybe with Botno Corridor, which goes northeast. Now, that's going to help to some degree to alleviate our transportation congestion and the pollution situation from cars, which are one of the largest pollutants. But that takes time and money as well.
Hell yeah, it takes a lot of time, that's for sure.
And
a lot of money.
Yeah, we can't do it all at once, and so that's part of what transportation is looking at now. And that will probably be other kinds of funding. That's usually bonding. It's usually out of the general fund rather than the Highway User Trust Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have dedicated monies that have to go for the highway trunk highway system and others, which is the gas tax and the
motor vehicle sales tax.
Yeah, motor vehicle sales tax and so forth and so on. Those are already constitutionally dedicated,
mm-hmm,
to to the Highway User Trust Fund, which...
And the other thing that's kind of, I think, in the Constitution is the a 50-50 split between Metro and Greater Minnesota transportation spending. Isn't that correct?
Well, no, not exactly. There's a funding on the... division on the MVS.
Okay.
And I think that's not less than not more than 60% for roads, and not not less than 40% for transit.
Mm-hmm.
And that transit also has to be divided slightly between metro and rural,
mm-hmm.
for transit. So, and I think that may be in statute, but part of that, and I can't remember which are in...
Actually, that was one of my friends had a question for you about rural transit and what are the challenges of that, and what do you think are some creative solutions that we could use to try to get transit as a viable option for smaller cities?
Almost all but about 8 or 10 counties have some transit. In some cases, it may be... not as you think of transit here, it isn't regular route. They may run a couple of routes a day, and they may be circulators within the town. But they don't, I would think maybe Duluth and possibly St. Cloud, I can't remember, and Rochester have regular route, meaning that you know. At 8:30 in the morning there's going to be a bus on a particular corner, and you can go and get it.
Yeah. You think that could be expanded to more cities and towns around the state?
Well, it really is to some degree now. Not a lot of the towns really have the need to move the level of people that you have to move around the metro area.
Mm-hmm.
So there has been a continuing expansion of that. And I just saw the... map of which counties do not have that. There are two counties that don't have anything, and there's several others that have minuscule, but there's always something in some of the counties. So.
Okay. Another question was about opt-out bus service. So many of the kind of suburban jurisdictions have run their own bus system, and one of the problems with that to me is that it's just a lot more confusing for kind of the actual users of the transportation service. So if I want to take a bus and I'm used to riding around in the city, it's a hurdle to jump over when you want to try to take the Mississippi Valley Transit or whatever, the Minnesota River Valley Transit. I mean, you know what I mean? So do you see that as a problem, or are you pretty satisfied with the way that those services have been?
Well, they're very happy with it. On the other hand, I can't quote you the numbers on it, but there is some concern about them receiving monies from the tax area,
uh-huh.
which are called, the non-opt-out.
Yeah,
because we raise the money here, and I think we buy like buses for them or something. We're going to be talking more about that. But they're quite happy with their systems, and they don't want to change because I think it's to their advantage not to right now.
Uh huh. What's the biggest new idea that you're most excited about in kind of the transit world, because there's new stuff happening all the time?
Well, there's a lot of technology that's come forth. I think this had already started when I was here before, but they can GPS buses and almost drive by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they've equipped any, but I've ridden on some that were trials, and I mean they read down the roadside, what do they call those, the bus transit routes or something?
Sure, the kind of bus rapid transit system.
Yeah, and they don't even have to keep their hands on the steering wheel if they don't want to. And
that didn't make you nervous?
Well, they do anyway, but. MnDOT uses that to guide snowplows as well.
Okay.
When they're, you got heavy blowing weather and they can't see where they're going anyway, but they're guided by automation, GPS stuff.
All right. Like farm tractors are like that, yeah. too. Huh, that's interesting. So that's an idea that you think is exciting? And
well, I mean, all technology can be exciting, and I haven't had a preview of the latest technology since, and I think we'll be looking at that.
Great. Are there any big differences between running your committee as a Republican and running your committee as a Democrat?
No, I think you have to be fair to the people, and as long as they're fair with you, otherwise... I have a big gavel I have to keep in my closet there.
Well, I hope I don't see that one in action.
I took it down to the first committee meeting we had.
Oh, yeah. It kind of reminds me of Nebraska, which has a nonpartisan legislature, and it must be more like that sort of culture in a way.
Well, you know, when you come right down to it, I don't see that transportation should be partisan. Mm-hmm. What gets in the way is that one geographic part of the state wants something and the other doesn't. So that was the secret of finally getting them to vote for increased gas tax. Because prior to that, they would always argue the metro people wanted mass transit, and the suburban people wanted both mass transit and roads. And rural Minnesota wanted roads, mm-hmm. and they could never bring themselves to understand that which I did. And I said, well, what we got to do is get something for everybody. We get road money for everybody, we get transit money from here, and we'll give a little more road money to rural Minnesota, and that'll balance out the monies that we're going to have for transit. Mm-hmm. And they all said, well, maybe that's right. And so then they were able to we were able to pass the bill and then eventually override.
Yeah. What do you think the odds are of, because the you mentioned before that task force that the governor, didn't the governor convene that?
Yeah, TFAC.
Yeah, and yeah, they called for increasing the gas tax kind of slowly over the next 10 years.
I think it was more than 10 years.
Yeah, like 20 years.
It was 40 cents per gallon.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, what do you think the chances of that happening?
Well, I don't know. It depends on what the governor is going to suggest, I think, on Tuesday. Does he want to tackle funding for... you want me to face this thing? Or?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I think it's fine.
You know, how much of a priority is transportation funding? I don't know that. So we're going to find that out with whatever he suggests on Tuesday.
What's Tuesday? Is that
when he comes out with his budget.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't know that.
Well, I don't know everything or anything.
Okay, well, that's the day he releases his budget.
Okay.
And then, of course, it's up to the legislature to agree disagree or partly agree and partly disagree or whatever.
Yeah.
We'll be negotiating that.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about Edina. What are the needs in Edina? How can the state help?
You know, we are pretty self-sufficient there because we have a good tax base. Mm-hmm. So we don't, one of the better ones, so we do a lot with property taxes. And offhand, I'm sure that they would like easier access to mass transit. Mm-hmm. They have either have just built or are completing a transit center at Southdale. Mm-hmm. So you can go over there and drive and probably get an express bus somewhere, wherever you want to go.
Yeah. Well, to downtown, I'm sure, is where it goes. Yeah.
But, you know, in the Southwest Corridor, a lot of people climb on the, is that the Southwest, what's that thing, park and ride out there?
Sure.
Southwest Transportation Center or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
People get on buses there and head downtown on express buses a lot. They park their cars. The ramp adjacent is probably all filled. Mm-hmm. So eventually there is a rail corridor now on hold through Edina, which is the Dan Patch line. There probably would have to be a lot of work done on that and to make it a proper rail corridor or transit corridor, but probably rail because it has rail in it now. But a lot of those homes are right on that track, and whether or not that's a good idea, the original study on it, which was done about 8 years ago, said at the present time this is not a good idea because there's too much money that would have to be involved in rebuilding the road and for passenger rail, and also it's too in too much proximity to homes. Mm-hmm. It goes, right now they run slow freight through there, 10 miles an hour, two or three times a day. And that hardly, people don't hardly hear that, but if they ran passenger rail, they'd probably go up to 40, 50 miles an hour, mm-hmm. which would make it a lot more dangerous.
Yeah, and I'm sure people would be a little upset right. about that.
Right.
So.
So I don't know that they need anything particular. They could always use more money for road repair.
Yeah, for sure. Great. Well, that's about all the questions I had for you today, Ron.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing how this session plays out.
Yeah.
And seeing what happens. Seeing what happens with especially transportation funding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any predictions about that?
Well, if the governor appears to be amenable or at least willing to take a look, I think there will be a major transportation bill that comes out of the legislature.
Great. Yeah. One more thing I thought of. How do you feel about Metro Council kind of reform? So that's been an issue that probably comes through your committee, I think.
Well, the only reform that I know about is they're talking about staggered terms.
Okay.
And maybe switching some of the people that are on that from civilians to elected officials. There already are elected officials on there.
Mm-hmm.
On some, I'm thinking of the Transportation Advisory Board, TAB Board. I guess the only one I think about is that they want the staggered terms, which would help transitions, because now they got a whole bunch of new people on there, or whatever the governor wants to appoint. They coexist with governors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, great. Thanks, Ron. That's about it. Thanks for talking.
Thanks for listening to the Streets.MN podcast. If you have any feedback or ideas, you can comment on Streets.MN on Twitter at StreetsMN, or you can email me directly at blindeke@gmail.com. So long from the state capitol in St. Paul.